Well now friends, this is the Babbler speaking. Some of you may recognize that name. It was the name given to Paul the Apostle when he was in Athens. But because I bring out a little book entitled The Babbler, some people pass that name on to me. So I get called the Babbler. Well, we just have to let them get away with it, and that's that. Now I'm sitting here facing something which looks to me very much like a boiled egg. But they tell me it's one of those weird and wonderful things called a microphone. Well now, Mike, you're going to have an address of about 3/4 hour long. So just sit back and take it easy, and I trust you profit by it. Now, friends, we're just going to have a look at the scriptures to start with. Oh, by the way, first of all, I do want to thank all those people who have written to me from time to time. I've had so many lovely letters, and I would like to keep those letters coming, because I do appreciate them, and I think I know so many of you, even though we have never met. So keep those letters coming and send them with or without, if you understand what that means. Well now, we're going to read a passage of Scripture, first of all. So I want you to turn with me to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 31. And we'll begin to read at the 33rd verse. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and will write it in their hearts, and they will be and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. They shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hananel unto the gate of the corner, and the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill of Galeb, and shall compass about to Gaeth. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes, and all the fields unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever. Amen. What a wonderful people those Jews are, aren't they? No other nation in the world is anything like them. They can trace their antecedents right back to the first man, Abraham. They know where he was born, where he went, what God said to him, what he did. They even know where he was buried. You know, there's no other nation in the world that can do that. Who was the first Britisher? There never was one. Who was the first German? You're puzzled to find him. Who was the first American? Oh, don't ask me. You can't find out these people. No history attached to them. But for the children of Israel, things are different. We know just where they began, just who was their first member, and just exactly what they've done ever since. They're wonderful people. We read how that their first patriarch, Abraham, well, we'll just read what it says about him. God said to Abraham, And I will make of thee a great nation, and and I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that curse thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Part of those promises have already been kept. Part of them have yet to be fulfilled. But we believe that they will be. In fact, if God keeps his promises, then we are sure they will be. Abraham. He left his great city, the city of the Ur in the Chaldees, and a wonderful city it was too, and he took to dwelling in tents, going on in the direction of Canaan. And in Canaan, later on in years, we find that that people, the children of Israel, became a great nation. Indeed, it became a very great nation. For under Solomon, there was no nation on the earth like it. They were visited by the Queen of Sheba, she's called in the scriptures. She said that no one had ever seen, no one had ever told her the half of the things which she had seen when she was there visiting Solomon. Wonderful nation they became. But if you read the scriptures through, you'll find what happened to them. That nation, they sinned and they sinned and they sinned. Till at last God said, in Hosea, they shall be Lo Ami, not my people, and I will not be their God. Now no other nation has been so separated from the world, from the other peoples, as the children of Israel have been, right the way down through the ages. Think of the Britishers again. What are we? Saxons and Celts and Gauls and goodness knows what, all mixed up. But that's not the case with the Jew. Where we have a Jew, he's a Jew first, and some other nation afterwards. He may be a Polish Jew or an American Jew or a German Jew or an English Jew, but he's a Jew. And that's their peculiar significance, that they are separated people from all the rest of the world. And God is watching over them and will watch over them right the way through in accordance with his promises. Now part of that promise to Abraham was fulfilled, as we've already said. But a part of it was not fulfilled. There has never been a time when all the families of the earth have been blessed through the descendants of Abraham. But that will happen presently. But not so far. And now God set his love upon those people. He considered them to be the apple of his eye. He called them his peculiar treasure. Why? Well, don't ask me, I don't know. He loved them as a mother, her child. All 70 of them. Because that's all they were at the time when God sent them down into Egypt. 70 of them. And the nations around could be counted in millions. How many millions there were in Egypt under Pharaoh at that time? Nobody knows. How many millions in Syria? How many millions of other people around in the world? We cannot tell. But God set his love upon those 70. And he has seen to it that they have prospered and flourished and grown until at last Pharaoh himself was afraid of them. They were growing so great. Even Pharaoh with all his golden glory wasn't loved as God loved the children of Israel. You can read the story for yourself. We can't go through all the history of the Jew, that's certain. But we can just touch upon those one or two things, seeing how that God has watched over them and kept them throughout all the ages through the past. Well then, having said that, we should want to come to the present for the children of Israel. Well, now God had said to Abraham that he would bless those children of Israel, make of them the great nation, and he did. But what now? Just turn with me for a moment to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And start from verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of thy God. God is speaking to the children of Israel through Moses. If thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land. Now read that chapter down to the rest of it, all the rest of it, if you want to have a bad night, because that terrible the words of God concerning that people. Terrible things he says. So thou shalt become an astonishment and a proverb and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but thou shalt not drink of the wine, nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. And so it goes on right through that chapter. Shocking things are said. What would happen to those children of Israel if they failed to be obedient to the word of the Lord God of Israel? And what has happened? Well, we only have to look back through the past ages to see what has happened to the children of Israel. How terrible has been their lot right the way through. They've been driven from pillar to post. They have been hounded from land to land. Destruction has met them everywhere. They have been dealt blow after blow. And yet, some way, they've kept going. They managed to keep on and on and on. And they are still a nation in God's sight. Even though, as he had warned them, they have been scattered abroad throughout all the world. Just a few here and just a few there. And yet, still a separate nation. No king, no God, no priest, no temple, no hope, except that which can be found in the scriptures concerning them. And that wondrous hope we read together just now in the promise which God gave to Abraham and also in those words of Jeremiah. For he told the children of Israel there, so long as the sun and the moon endure, so long, or rather, so long as the moon and the stars endure, so long will they be a nation before him forever. Well, friends, you believe that? Some people don't. Some Christian people think that the Jew is finished with, that he will never be a nation anymore, that he's been scattered away over the face of the earth, dealt with and done with, and the church has taken his place. Well, you know, if God doesn't keep that promise, what reason have we for believing that he will keep any other promise? You and I are resting upon the promise of eternal life. Will God keep that promise to us? If he failed to keep his promise to the children of Israel, the reason why he should, because if he can break one promise, he can break another. And if he breaks the promise to the children of Israel, that so long as the moon and the stars endure, so long will there be a nation before him forever, well then, he can break any other promises that there are in the word of God. And you and I, are resting upon shifting sand. Any moment they may cease to be reality and have no rock bottom. Well, the children of Israel are a nation still, even though they are driven out all over the world, and even though they have suffered as God said they would suffer, even though and they longed for the morning when it was night time. Longed for the night when it was morning. Yet they are still a nation, separated and apart from the rest of the world. A wondrous people. Have they suffered? Oh my. Think of what has happened to them years ago under the Russians. We used to read about them in my young days. The pogroms where the children of Israel were so sorely dealt with. Terribly dealt with. Need not go to Russia. In the Middle Ages, in Great Britain itself, the Jews were hounded to death. Robbed, stripped of their possessions, beaten and hounded out. That's in England, in the Middle Ages. You know, it goes back as far as back as the Middle Ages. What has happened a few years ago in the prison camps, in Dachau, Belsen. Oh my, the horrible things that we have read. Have taken place where millions upon millions of Jews have been slaughtered in gas chambers, starved, beaten, terribly dealt with. God has kept that side of his promise to them if he hasn't kept the other. But I think you and I are fairly certain, if not really certain as we should be, that God will keep the other side of that promise as well. And that he will restore them as a nation. And one day he will be their God. And they shall be his people. So we've been having a look at the children of Israel in the past. And we've been having a look at them in the present. But what of the children of Israel for the future? Shall we have a look at that? Well now, what of Israel's future? Our Lord said that Jerusalem should be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles should be fulfilled. Doesn't it look as if those times are drawing to a close? Is Jerusalem still trodden down of the Gentiles? Up to a point, maybe it still is. Up to a point it is not, because some of the Jews have returned. And what does God say about that day when wondrous things will happen? He says that the Son of Man shall and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven unto the other. The children of Israel shall all be gathered together in that day. A great and wondrous nation will there be. Let us turn back to the prophecy of Hosea. That prophecy where God had told those people that they should not be his God, that they should not be his people. Lo ami, and he would not be their God. But listen, in the 6th chapter of that same prophecy it says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us, he hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and in the third he will raise him up, and we shall live in his sight. 2 days. That's a very significant time in the scriptures. 2 days. Do you remember when Joseph was in the prison, put there by Potiphar, his master? How that he transcribed the dreams of those two, the butler and the baker. And the butler was restored to Pharaoh. And promptly forgot all about Joseph. For 2 full years, it says. 2 full years. And then Joseph was restored. 2 full years, supposing we can take that as 1,000 years in his sight. 2,000 years. Israel will be restored to its former place and position as the greatest and grandest nation in the world. Israel will rule, and the nations of the earth shall serve them. They shall come to be their ploughmen and their vine dressers. They shall come to them and say, "The Lord is with you, and God of Israel shall be our God." Nations of the world shall come to them in that day. But 2,000 years, why, that's nearly up, isn't it? Since our Lord died from the cross, that 2,000 years is nearly gone. And if that number means anything, we're getting on towards the end. And very, very soon, Israel will be restored. What does it tell us? To tell us is going to happen in that day? Well, it tells us such a lot of things that one couldn't go into it now. But turn with me to Zechariah and read some of the things which will take place in that day. You'll find it speaks of in that day in chapter 13:1, again in that day in the second verse, in the third verse, fourth verse, right the way down through that chapter, we get in that day, in that day, in that day. Wonderful things are going to happen. Listen to this. "And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart." What does that mean? It means repentance. When John the Baptist came to the children of Israel, we find the great message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We find that when our Lord Jesus Christ undertook his ministry, he had exactly the same message, repent, repent. When Peter spoke to them at Pentecost, he spoke to the children of Israel and he said the same thing, repent, but they wouldn't repent. But in that day, there's going to be a great mourning for him whom they have pierced. In that day, they will repent, every one of them. Each family will repent. And they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And in accordance with Isaiah's prophecy, they shall say, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him." And then some wondrous things will take place. In Zechariah, we were just reading in that chapter 13. Look again in the 14th chapter. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. The half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall be cut off, shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." All in that day, in that day, in that day, his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives before Jerusalem. "And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall move towards the north, and half of it towards the south. and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. For the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquakes in the day of Azariah king of Judah. And the Lord thy God shall come, and all the saints with thee. We'll read on in that chapter and see some more of those things which will take place in that day, in that day. All many of the prophecies are concerned with that great day of the Lord when he shall come again. And then the children of Israel are to be restored into their land, become a great nation once more. All the nations of the earth shall serve them. And that to take place when? Well, we're just looking at the numbers, weren't we? Two. How long was Paul the Apostle in his own hired house? 2 years. At the end of the Acts of the Apostles, when the children were finished with, Paul was preaching the gospel there for 2 full years in his own hired house. Little figure two again. The two comes everywhere in Scripture. You'll find that when Paul was shipwrecked on his way to Rome, 2 weeks that boat was tossing up and down on the seas. 2 weeks. And then it crashed upon the island of Malta. That's where two ways met. Two dispensations, huh? The old and the new. Paul was separated from his old message and given the new one which you and I love so much. Well, we've been talking about the children of Israel and thinking about them for a bit, but what about ourselves? Paul had a grand message, a wondrous message for you and for me. If we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as I'm sure we all have, and if we do what the children of Israel will do in that day, follow on and know the Lord, and Paul tells us, we shall be lifted up to be with him in the glory. He tells us we shall be seated with him far above all principality and power, throne and dominions and might in that day. But before ever the children of Israel are back in their land, we shall be there, seated with him. But we too are to be revealed with him in the great Epiphany when he shines forth. When he comes in his glory, you and I will be there with him and not waiting for him, as so many others will be in that day. The great and glorious good news to know that we shall be there and not here. Is that? Well, now it seems that we have been considering promises given to the children of Israel. But I would like to conclude with some of the promises which are given unto us. So wondrous, so glorious, so beyond all imagination. And for that we must turn to the Epistle to the Ephesians. Paul says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us that who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, the power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That power is to us who believe. That power will be exercised to us in resurrection. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For he has raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in him. The promises that we have are greater and grander and fuller than all the promises given to the children of Israel. The last shall be first. First in position, first in place and power, first in resurrection glory, which we seated with him. Paul goes on to pray that God would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.